finally going to complete the call. So let's get in our Bibles, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Again, I apologize for my tardiness to this party, but I am thankful for your patience, and I don't mean to take advantage of it. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 is where we're going to go, 14 through 17 tonight. I'll read the text, do a little review, and then we'll go from there. There we go. So 2 Timothy chapter 3. So the perilous times are upon us, but we're going to wrap up this chapter on a good note. And it starts with a bad, not a bad note, but a warning about the last days and perilous times. Times like these, as I've titled this. But we get down here to 13. Let's pick it up there with that number of rebellion. Let's back up to 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There's a promise for you. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Are you encouraged yet? And Paul says, hey, but you're a soldier. So, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All right, so times like these, we need complete men to complete their call, and that's why Paul's writing to Timothy. We've already seen how complete men consider the fruit of faithful men, faithful leaders, faithful followers, there's a contrast between the complete man and the corrupt man. There's the fertilizer of faithfulness, which is persecution, which we just read in verse 13. And then in verse 13, we saw the complete man consider the foolishness of corrupt men. We've already covered that. Evil men and seducers have their own spiritual growth process. They wax, which means they grow or expand worse and worse. So they're growing the wrong direction. We grow in 9 attributes that we saw in Paul's life, in doctrine, and in manner of life, and purpose, and faith, and long-suffering, and charity, and patience, and persecutions, and afflictions. And as we successfully grow through the pressure of persecution by the power of the Holy Spirit, evil men will continue to grow worse and worse, and we are here to counteract that. And so Noah is called a preacher by the Holy Ghost. We saw that, moving on, the Bible has specific instructions concerning concerning evil men. So don't go where they go. Stay off the path that they take, and make sure you don't get entangled with their net. The desire for evil men to be saved, don't desire to be with them, but desire that they be with Christ. Evil men don't understand judgment. And so these are all realities of which we are faced with on a daily basis in days like these and times like these. Corrupt men, point C, will continue to deceive and be deceived. And this is the only mention of the word seducers in the Bible. We saw that, but the word seduce is used 3 times in the New Testament. 2 of the mentions reference the great deception of the coming tribulation. So they're just like their father, the devil. We saw that Paul illustrates with examples Timothy could understand and knew about from Scripture, Jannes and Jambres, and he also knew Hymenaeus and Philetus in person. And so these are examples he could practically get a hold of. And the very Antichrist himself will epitomize self-deception. And so that's where we've been. The last thing there is God is not mocked. Hallelujah. He is not mocked. And so these evil men will reap what they sow in due time. And that catches us up. So complete men consider the fruit of faithful men. Complete men consider the foolishness of corrupt men. And complete men complete their call. Right? So that's a little bit redundant, but it's still good. So we're complete in Christ, and we complete our call. And that's the main thing, and we just read that. So complete men complete their call by continuing their education in the Holy Scriptures. That's what he says in verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And so the cure of apathy apostasy and anarchy in our spiritual lives is found in these remaining verses. And this is really important, even though it's at the end. It's important in the context of chapter 3 and the whole of the book. You know, what happens if we don't continue? What if we quit? What if we let things just blow us up and we just take the easy out, right? So that's not the way to roll. We've got to continue. And continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, you know, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And so you will remember that Paul started off this epistle by going down memory lane and remembering the faith that was in Grandma Lois and his mother Eunice. So Paul concluded by saying that he was persuaded that this faith dwelt in Timothy also. So he was saying, hey, Timothy, I need you to be strong like your grandma and your mama. In 2 Timothy 1:5, it was from this point that Paul encouraged Timothy to stir up the gift of God that was in him and reminded Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7 that God has not given him the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And so that's the context by which Paul started the epistle. It's like, hey, be faithful. And don't forget the faithful people in your life. And I hope you guys have faithful people in your life. I know I do. I got all kinds of them. Actually, I'm pretty blessed. But you can call on those, right? It's nice to have stories from the Bible, but it's also nice to have living epistles in your life. And so it's important to kind of recollect those things every so often and remember what that looks like, because it'll inspire and encourage. Paul's point from there was to make sure that Timothy was not ashamed, but partook of the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so now, as we enter 2 Timothy 3:11, Paul has come full circle and told Timothy that out of them all the Lord has delivered him. And so he doesn't leave him despondent. Now Tim continues, he says, continue thou in the things that thou hast learned, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So yes, he learned much from Grandma. He learned a lot from Mama and his spiritual father and the Lord Paul. But at length, the Spirit of God was in him, and he was teaching him through the Word of God and the witness of God that God used to disciple Timothy. So your verse there, I put in your notes, 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which ye received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is not a lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. I like how it's it, because the Spirit doesn't speak of himself, but we're talking about the Spirit here. So Timothy, he'll be in a situation. Paul's going to get killed by Nero, and then eventually Timothy, as far as we understand from Fox's Book of Martyrs, is going to be in a situation where he's going to be pastor at Ephesus and be murdered himself. And so what's going to get him through that is it's going to be all these things that he's learned. And ultimately, he'll give the ultimate sacrifice, which is his life, and he'll fall into that line of faithful witnesses that gave their life. And he'll be rewarded also in heaven, and it'll be far and above what we could ask or think. So it'll be good when we get to Timothy. He can finish this story for us and see how well this message went. But I'm sure he did learn, obviously, from those that God put in his life. And he's saying, you know what, I'm not going to be here. Right? So don't forget what you learned as a child. Continue in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. You've known them from a child, but you're going to need them till the dying day. And so these are encouraging things, I hope. So John 14:26, you know that what that says about the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. There's our definition where the Comforter is the Holy Ghost, proper noun there with Comforter. It's a title for the Holy Ghost. Whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So we need a complete dependence on the Spirit, which we were just talking about that a couple weeks ago. We need to depend on the Lord. So lest you are tempted to say, aha, I don't need a stinking church. You know, why am I here tonight, Brian? I can just learn from the Holy Ghost. God will teach me the Scripture. Well, he does, and he will teach you that you need a local church. So if you really are learning from the Holy Ghost, you will learn you need a local church. So because that's what the Bible teaches, as we were just talking about this morning. He does teach you, and that's what he does teach us, is that we're all instruments used by God, and we don't work unless we work together. Right? So I'm no good by myself. I'm only good if I'm working with in the context of the local church. And you're no good by yourself. There's no cowboys, baby. So you got to work within the context or you're not in the context, right? You're out of context. And so the body parts have to be part of the body. And so, you know, if the Holy Ghost hasn't taught you that, then it may not be the right Spirit that's teaching you. Ephesians 4:11. So don't trust me, trust what the Bible says. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. I like how he says some, right? He just throws some people at it. It's not about the people themselves. It's about the office. God establishes these offices and officers. He puts people in place. Why? Verse 12. That's what's important. For the perfecting of the saints. The priority is the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying, the building, right, of the body of Christ. That's what it's about. Well, how long are we going to do this? Well, I'm glad you're asking. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man under the measure, the stature, of the fullness of Christ. So until we go to heaven, right, we're about this business. And if it isn't getting done in this church, he'll move it down the street and do it in another church. But he wants this work to continue through the local New Testament church. So if we are being taught by the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God's teaching us all things, whatsoever he said to us, then it's going to be involved in what the local church is doing. Because that's how he's going to operate in this age until he catches us away and moves on to the next dispensation. So some things the Holy Ghost would have Timothy and us to continue in are listed in Paul's letters. He wants us to continue in biblical behavior and doctrine, teaching of God's Word. So my life and your life and those that hear us depend upon it. Right, it's important. And it's easy to think about that with your family, but it's everybody, right? Take heed unto thyself. And under the doctrine, he tells Timothy. That's going all the way back to the first epistle. So going back in your mind, Timothy, remember when I told you to take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Right? So make sure that you're checking yourself and your doctrine. Because it'll preserve you and those that hear you. And that's so important. Continue in the form of sound words, he tells Timothy. Right, that's another thing we can continue in, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. So we continue in the form of sound words. So we're King James English people in this local New Testament church. There's a reason, because form follows the function, right? I think that's how it goes. But the form of the words are important. It's not just the concepts, it is the words of God themselves. And God has made it clear that he has preserved his word in the English language in the authorized version. No other Bible, actually, there's not a group of people running around beating their chest saying that about the ESV, the NIV, the NASB, etc., etc. They'll say, oh, we got the original Greek and Hebrew, but we don't have it in our language. Let's go consult that, and let's see what Dr. So-and-so says. And our church, we're like, well, thus saith the Lord. This is the Bible. We got it. God's preserved it. He has preserved his word for us. So, man, praise the Lord. Hold fast to the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Don't forget the faith and the love. It's no good to have the word of God if we don't actually trust it, if we're not actively depending on it, if we're not stepping out by faith and allowing God to work in our lives, then, man, we're just a tinkling cymbal and a sounding brass. Another thing to continue in biblical behavior, continue in the form of sound words, continue to teach others also. You guys know that verse. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So make disciples. That is what we do. And thank you for being a part of that. We had two new couples here today, and two people that indicate they need to get saved, and two people that want to find a church. So there's more people. We don't even have to go get disciples. God just might bring them, right? Are we ready to disciple? That's what we do, is we teach people the word. Now, the key is faithful men, not unfaithful, right? So we can get discouraged when people aren't faithful, but we need to be patient and continue to invest the word, because the word does not return void. Another thing we can continue in, right? Continue in biblical behavior and doctrine, continue in the form of sound words, continue to teach others also, and continue in prayer. That's why we're here tonight. This one is not found in Paul's letters to Timothy, but it is appropriate. In Colossians 1:23, which you should have in your notes, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And so this is something twice we're told to continue. And interestingly enough, it's in Colossians. It's in Colossians, right? So we know that Colossians is important because, well, that's the church. You know, Laodicea is only mentioned in the footnotes of Timothy, and it's only mentioned in the text of Colossians once, I believe, in chapter 3. And so, and then it's mentioned in Revelation chapter 3, of which that's the church age we live in. So it's important that we continue in prayer. Twice he says that in Colossians. Okay, so those are four things that we just looked at that we can continue in that are listed in Paul's letters. And one of the main things that Timothy learned and was assured of was that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. In Acts 17:31, Paul said, "Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead." So you can definitely be assured of that. So point B, complete men complete their call because they possess the power of the Holy Scriptures. And so in verse 15, he says, "And from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." So you mean to tell me that he had the King James Bible? Well, he didn't have a King James Bible. No, he didn't. That wouldn't come around for quite some time. So you need to tell me he had access to the original autographs in his half-breed home. We know that that is not the case either. Because the original book of Jeremiah was tossed in the river Euphrates, so we know he doesn't have the original Jeremiah. And we know that Moses broke the tablets, the original Ten Commandments. They got destroyed as well. So no one has the originals of those. It's not even possible. And so, when Moses blew a gasket, he messed up. So we're in trouble. We'll never know what the Ten Commandments are. Or do we? Right? Of course we do. So God has promised, right, to preserve His Word in every generation. Psalm 12:7, "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. O Lord, Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." A lot of your Bible scholars and Bible students will say, yeah, he's not talking about the words of God there. He's talking about Israel as being preserved. But that's actually, if you look at the Greek and the Hebrew, using their logic, and look at the context of what he's talking about, actually, no, he is talking about the words of God. So, voila, who would have known? So if we just use their scholasticism against them, we'll find out what the Word of God says anyway, because God's preserved His words. It's kind of like God's overturning them. So God has provided the Word of God to Timothy from his youth. There's no question. He's not saying some scripture or some questionable scripture. He says, "You've had the Holy Scripture, Timothy, from your youth. They're sanctified. They're meet for you to use. And they've done a good work in you." So God provided the Word of God to Timothy from his youth so he could come to the place that he could understand the gospel when the Apostle Paul passed through Derbe, Iconium, and Lystra, preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Holy Scriptures made Timothy wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Right? It was the Holy Scriptures. Not the corrupted scriptures, not the almost right scriptures, is the Holy Scriptures. So why doesn't this say the faith you have in Christ Jesus? Paul is pointing out that the Scripture made Timothy wise to the fact that his salvation is found in the faith that was in Christ Jesus. Romans 3:22 says this, "Even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." He's talking about between the Jew and the Greek. So it's the faith. Be careful there in Romans 3:22. The faith of Jesus Christ. What really, the faith that we need is the faith of Jesus Christ. He is the one that was faithful. We put our faith in Him. Galatians 2:16 also says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law." So we're talking about the law of Moses on Sunday morning, right? Listen, we're not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. I alluded to that this morning, right? There's only one perfect man, and it's Christ. He's the only one that can keep the law. He's the lawgiver and he's the lawkeeper. "Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ." So we put our faith in Christ because we know that He is the only man who has kept the law perfectly. He is the only perfect man. "And not by the works of the law, but by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." All right, and so we don't put our faith in the works of the law. We put our faith in Jesus Christ, who is the lawgiver. And He is also the lawkeeper, because He is God manifest in the flesh. That is our only hope, is Christ and His faith. So just as Timothy had the faith of those who invested in him, he had the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, who lived in him and taught him the Scripture. So do you. So your faith is actually the faith of Christ. Why do you believe? Because Christ is in you of a truth. You know your spirit bears witness with his spirit that you are the sons of God. Right? You're a child of God because he's in you. He's telling you that. He had the assurance of the word of God in his hand and in his heart. And I know you all do too. So here's a practical application. I'm trying to drive to the conclusion. Are you giving your children the scripture? Right? Once you got that assurance, well, who else is assured because you're assured? Once you're confident, other people should be confident. Bob was in class this morning, so is Jamie and Wendy. We were talking about in the book of Philippians how you set the tone. Paul's in the midst of all this trouble. He's in a Roman prison. He's in house arrest. He's all these places. And he's writing these glorious epistles because you cannot dissuade him from the glory of God, from the hope in Christ. He is just absolutely locked in. And he knows he wins in the end, right? Because he believes what he writes about Romans 8. He is more than a conqueror. So you know, even though they slay me, yet will I serve him. Paul is like, I'm down with that. You know, take me home. I can't wait. I'd actually like to depart, but I'm going to stay a little while for your sake. I mean, no matter what you throw at Paul, it just doesn't stick. I mean, he is just so focused on things above that nothing below seems to bother him. And you know why? Because, well, he's a child of the Scripture. He believes the Word of God. And he didn't just talk about the Scripture. He demonstrated it in his life. And you know what? People like Timothy followed him. And there were people in Caesar's house that followed him. And the more that he got discouraged, the more persecution he took, the more confident people were growing to preach the gospel in Nero's own home, or in his own palace, I should say. And so these are things that we can see in our own lives as well. And that's what Paul is doing here. He's really writing a swan song here. This is 2 Timothy, right? So he's not under house arrest. He's doing hard time now. And he ain't going nowhere but to the gallows, so to speak. Though he didn't go to the gallows, history says he got his head chopped off. But however he died, he's doing hard time and he's still coming with this stuff like, hey, Timothy, you got it. The faith is enough. Keep at it. Don't quit. Are we demonstrating that kind of faith in Christ Jesus? The mind of Christ to our children? You know, what are we trusting in? I'm probably failing in some of this. I think in my family, probably the kids think that you need money more than you need Jesus. And no, you need Jesus more than you need anything. More than education, more than a good job, more than anything else. You need Jesus. You need the faith. Because you know what? You sometimes take for granted what you always have. But man, when you don't have the faith, and many of us know what it's like not to have the faith, it's precious when you got it. It doesn't matter if you got a nice job and nice things. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have nothing. Right? And so Jesus is where it's at. And so we need to get that across to our kids. I was just talking with Pastor Mike Blake, and he's racking up some. I don't know if I should even. I probably shouldn't mention that, but be praying for that brother. He's got like all of us. You know, when you send your kids to college, and you got bills and stuff like that. So we were talking about making ends meet and all of those things. And you know, once you put a child in college, it's kind of tough and all of that. But you know what we did? We started encouraging ourselves in the Lord, and we're talking about missions trips. And that's why we need to take missions trips, because you think you don't have anything until you go somewhere where they don't have anything. And then you come back and you're like, thank you, God. And I was like, yeah, you're so right, Mike. I can't tell you how many times I've come back from a missions trip and I might have been all Laodicean when I left, and I come back and I'm like in my shower thanking God for hot water, and I'm cleaning my hair and I just turn on the tap, and this house that I was not really happy with, I'm ready to get rid of it, burn it down, buy a new house. I need something nicer. Now I'm like, oh, this is a palace. Oh, thank you, Lord. I just need to take care of what you've given me. You know, adjust your attitude. And we need to have an attitude of gratitude, not toward the things that we have, but the person that we have in Christ. Now, sometimes it takes you to go somewhere where we're not in all the trappings, and we're pretty diluted in this culture in America. I mean, we are definitely the most affluent culture, probably, you know, overall, en masse, I'm sure, in quite some time, if ever. And I don't know what it was like before the flood of Noah, so, I mean, I wasn't there. But definitely after the flood of Noah, I doubt if there's been this many people that have this much stuff worldwide. I mean, it's pretty swanky. And the poor stuff is rich compared to most people that have lived throughout the centuries. I mean, our poor people in America are richer than people that than our ancestors, no matter what color you are, right? That lived as serfs and peasants for the most part. And so, man, we got a lot of physical things to be thankful for, but that's nothing compared to the riches that we have in Christ. And we got our Bibles, and we got electricity, and we got all this opportunity. I mean, really, we can't fail. We can't. But we do, then we shouldn't, because God's given us every opportunity to succeed. So this is what Paul's referencing in Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Then he went on and described the mindset of the Lord Jesus Christ in humility, sacrifice, and glory. So you think you got something, but whatever you got is nothing on Jesus. Right? What is it like to be sitting in heaven? The creator of all. Talk about your comfort zone. You don't even need humanity. And yet you step out of the Godhead and you say, you know what, I'm going to be incarnate now. I'm going to manifest myself in the flesh, and I'm going to live as humble as anybody's ever lived, and I'm going to die a cruel death. I mean, you talk about getting out of your comfort zone. You talk about humility. Whew! Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So what are we not willing to give up to get the gospel where it needs to go on time? If our example is Christ, I don't know what we can hold on to, including our life. And that is our example. Now, that's not the kind of talk you give to the baby Christian that just started D1, but that is the talk you give to mature Christians. And that's why we're in 2 Timothy chapter 2. That's the kind of talk you give to soldiers. And you don't have to be up 18 years old to take that kind of talk, right? We can train people that don't even know Jesus Christ to run straight into the line of fire and lose their life. But yet we struggle to train Christians who are sitting in fluffy chairs to go out and share the gospel in our neighborhoods. We had to bend over backwards to cover 300 stinking houses in Harrisonville. We almost have half of that population in our church. So I'm just saying. If our children don't know the written word, they will not know the risen word either. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. And that's the truth. So complete men complete their call because they profit spiritually from the Holy Scriptures. And that leads us to the verse we all know. For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's inspired, right? It's spoken by God and is profitable for, what's it good for? Well, for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof. Ooh. For correction, yeah. And instruction in righteousness. And not just what's wrong, but what's right. How to do it. That the man of God may be perfect, right? Complete, truly furnished unto all good works. And by the way, you got to check your Bibles because they like to change throughly to thoroughly. All right, so all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and that means it's God-breathed. So this passage also shows us that we, like Paul, can benefit from the whole Bible, not just the New Testament or the Pauline epistles. It's profitable for doctrine, teaching. The Word of God is our source for teaching. We need not go outside of the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying you can't, I mean, I use a concordance and you use a concordance. I'm not saying you can't read this or that. I wouldn't know. I'm glad I read this or that this week. I had no idea about some of the perspectives on the book of Exodus chapter 19. So it's good to read things. But at the end of the day, your Bible, my Bible, your Bible, that is the source for doctrine, for teaching. We need not go outside of that. For reproof, right? The evidence or the proof that will bring conviction. We get that from the Word of God. And correction, that straightens us out, right? So it's not just reproof, but it's correction. Getting us straightened out. And instruction in righteousness, which are the steps necessary to be right with God. What are the next right steps? Well, that is instruction. These are the things you need to do. And so we got two people on a card saying, I want to know how to have a relationship with Christ. So what we need to do is bring them instruction. Because we trust that the teaching of God's Word brought reproof and maybe some correction, some conviction. And now they need to understand the gospel so they can receive the instruction. The next step is put your faith in the faith of Jesus Christ. Trust Him as Lord and Savior. Point D, and we'll be done. Complete men complete their call because they are perfected or completed by the Holy Spirit, or Holy Scripture, I'm sorry, unto all good works. And that's the last verse, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So God wants us to be completely furnished because He lives in us. The implication is that if we don't allow the Scripture to complete us, we won't be complete in Christ. Our bodies are the temple of the living God. He wants to have the tools at His disposal to use to do every good work that He has for you. This is why God was telling Timothy that God had not given him the spirit of fear, but the fruit of the Spirit, so that he could partake of the sufferings of Christ and the fruit of the Spirit. So, and add Miracle-Gro to his life and the life of the church. Because as those persecutions came, God would use that to continue to grow himself and the church. So Paul completed his course, and Timothy completed his course. And the question isn't, is Paul going to get across the finish line, or is Timothy? Those guys have already done it. The reality is, all of this stuff that we just talked about isn't just for Paul, and it isn't just for Timothy. It's for us. And it's for us tonight. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 of us, fruit of the Spirit, right? It's for us tonight. And God has brought this to us to consider. So we contemplate if we completed our course. Will we complete our course? And I know you guys will. Timothy completed his course. Will we complete ours? So we're taking the Word of God seriously. And if we are taking it seriously, then everything else falls behind that, because God is equipping us in His college to go out and accomplish His mission. So, if you want to be in a trade, you have to be equipped through apprenticeship, right? You got to go through the process. And if you want to be a disciple, you must be equipped in the Word of God. And that's what we're here to do, is equip people in the Word of God. And so keep praying for our church that we win people to Christ, we make disciples, and we have faithful disciples, right? So we have criteria for discipleship at HBF, that our disciples are understand the body and are plugged into the body in a way with ABFs and worship, so that they can plug others in also. So it's not just an information transformation, but it's also a relational transformation. And so we just pray that God continues to do that. So in conclusion, complete your call by being complete in Christ. Complete men consider the fruit of faithful men. Complete men consider the foolishness of corrupt men. And complete men complete their call. All right? So that's everything I have to say about that. We can complete in chapter 3. So we're almost done with this epistle. So, after this epistle, I think we're going to do something a little different in regard to, instead of me being the monologue, I'm going to see about sharing this a little bit more in the coming days. So that'll be good. So we're going to use this as a real workshop, and you'll hear more about that forthcoming. So, all right. I hear that the water is good here. It's even drinkable, so that's good. You never know about the tap. Okay, so.
You never know about the bottle.
That's true. Okay, I was drinking by faith. Now I'm. That's right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I was off. I didn't count myself.
Number of the Gentiles.
Number of the Gentiles. Isn't it interesting that there's 10 commandments given to the 12 Hebrew tribes?
Yeah.
Have you thought about that before? I'd never thought about that until the day. I thought, that's weird. Why didn't he do 12 commandments? Well, I think it's to get it to the world. So,
I don't know what possessed me to count the number of generations in the account of the genealogy of Jesus Christ in Luke. There are 75 generations between Adam and Christ.
Oh. 75. That's cool. I thought he did them in... So they did do them in sevens.
Matthew is 14.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
Yes, you were thinking Matthew.
Mm-hmm. So this is Luke. 75, so it's a Gentile author with a Gentile number.
Yeah, but if you add the number 75 together, you get 12. So.
Oh, that's true. I hadn't thought about that. It's both.
It's both, yes.
Because you know, I mean, Gentiles work in fives and tens.
Yeah.
Hebrews work in sevens.
Yes.
So, and twelves, yeah.
All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, Romans.
Mm-hmm.
Reproof, 1 Corinthians. Correction, 2 Corinthians. Destruction and righteousness, Galatians.
Mm-hmm, that's good. Where's Philippians? And Ephesians. That's good. God's word is amazing, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It is, never stops. You get to pray for the missionaries, Bob. Thank you. Well, you guys, are you sore, Jamie, from volleyball?
I am
too. My abs are sore.
I've been complaining. Yeah. The top of my thighs are sore.
Oh, my goodness. Huh? Oh, I forgot. Thank you. Thanks, brother. Thank you. Thanks.
No, what? Yeah, but when? How many games do you play Friday night?
Oh, I don't know.
Four total?
That was about double what we normally
do. Oh, man, we played 9 in a row.
Yeah, you guys went straight through it.
It was brutal.